In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, the other day I went to this really nice grocery store. It was very pleasant and clean inside. They had wooden shelves instead of the standard metal ones. All kinds of nice products on those shelves. And really good music just kind of floating through the store on the sound system. And it felt really good to be there. And as I went through, I filled my cart with everything that I needed for the week. And I was so excited about how well fed I was going to be that week. And with my cart overflowing with all this great stuff, I started to head for my car. But just as I got to the door, I heard a voice behind me. Excuse me, sir? Well, I stopped and I turned around to see the store manager standing behind me. Well, I figured he was excited that I was there and he was going to thank me for coming that day. And so you can imagine my shock when he said to me, you're going to need to pay for that. My jaw just hit the ground. I couldn't believe the audacity of this guy. And after I collected myself, I said to him, you people, all you ever do is talk about money. From now on, I'm going to do my shopping elsewhere. And I headed out that door, and I'm never going back to that grocery store. Now, of course, the story is very tongue-in-cheek, but I think most pastors will tell you that at times it feels like this in the church. So before I speak any further today, I will state for the record, during my 7 months at All Saints, I have never once talked about money or stewardship from the pulpit until today. So you certainly can't blame, or you can't accuse me of talking about nothing but money. And really, in a way, it seems a bit strange to talk about stewardship at All Saints. After all, this entire church, not just the building, but the congregation's existence itself, really is a testimony to the generosity of our members. Not only do we have this wonderful facility to worship in each week, we also have top-notch liturgy, engaging programs, and a great staff. And what's even more amazing is we've been able to do all of this without incurring any debt. Now, that's not common. In almost 20 years of ordained ministry, this is the first time I've ever served in a parish that was not servicing significant amounts of debt. And that's exciting because it means we can spend our money on ministry instead of on interest payments. However, this fact can be just as much of a curse as it is a blessing. Because it's really easy for someone to walk into our facility and see everything that's going on and think, wow, All Saints has it all figured out. They don't need my money. But I can tell you definitively that this is not true. We work really hard to be good stewards of the resources which we have been entrusted with. But like many families today, we struggle from week to week to pay our bills on time. And some weeks are harder than other weeks. And while I do want to dispel the myth that we have a secret room somewhere here that's just full of money for us to use when we need it, that really isn't what I want to talk about this morning. I don't want to give that standard stewardship sermon where I just look at everyone and say, we have enough money to run the church. The problem is it's still in your pockets. That's not what I want to do. And you know, even if that myth that we had that secret room full of money, and if we do and you know about it, let me know because I want to find that. But even if that myth were true, Christian stewardship is really less about the church's need to pay our bills, which is still important, But stewardship is really more about the individual Christian's need to give. That's what we're talking about. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You see, our heartstrings are and our purse strings are intertwined with each other, because we tend to pay more attention to something when we have some skin in the game, when we've had to give something up for it. And when we talk about sacrifice, and especially sacrificing to God, we're not talking about giving, about us giving something to God as if God needs our money or our burnt offerings or our sacrifices, but rather sacrifice for us is about giving up something for Him. When Aruna offers to give King David everything he needs to offer a sacrifice to God at the end of 2 Samuel, King David insists on paying a fair price for all of these items, because David says, "I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." A sacrifice without cost is really not a sacrifice at all. That's why the biblical norm for giving is a tithe or 10%. Because this is really the level where we're forced to sit up and take notice. It's when we start giving away 10% of our income that we realize that there are things that we are going to have to do without in order to give to God. When I was growing up, I knew that my dad hated to waste money. He always wanted to be a good steward of our finances. And whenever we'd go on vacation, and we never went to places like Disney World, it was always historic Williamsburg, so we could learn something in the process. And one of the things my dad always used to love to say when we were on vacation is that we were going to have a late lunch and call it dinner, which really meant we weren't going to eat lunch that day. And I know this was a way my dad was trying to save money, but I get very angry when I get hungry. And so I would usually just make our vacations miserable, not because I didn't appreciate going to these places, I was just really hungry. But my dad wanted to be a good steward. Well, so one Sunday when I was probably about 11 years old, we were sitting in church and my dad gave me the offering envelope to put in the collection plate as it came by. And being a curious 11-year-old, when no one was looking, I opened that envelope and snuck a peek inside to see how much we were giving to the church. And I was shocked. Here's my dad who won't let me eat lunch on a vacation, and there was a lot of money in that envelope. And the first thing, of course, I thought was, well, Dad, you could be spending that money on me. There's a lot of things I could use with that money. But after I got past sort of my own selfish ambitions, something clicked in my head. I realized, wow, if my dad is putting this much money in the collection plate each week, church must be really, really important. And that stuck with me my entire life. And that's really the message I want to convey to you today, that what we're doing here is really, really important. This is perhaps the most important thing you will do this week. Jesus says again in Matthew chapter 6, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." So ask yourself this question. Are you serving money as your master? Or is God the master of your money? Are you serving God, or are you serving money as your master? Or is God the master of your money? So with that in mind, I'd like to get a little practical. This week we will be sending pledge cards out to all of our members. And we would like for you to prayerfully consider filling it out and returning it to the church by November 19th. Now, this is not a requirement, but it really is an expectation of membership. It's sort of like having dinner with your family. You don't have to have a rule that you have dinner together, but it's just sort of an expectation when everyone's home at dinner time, families eat together. And as members of God's church, it is an expectation that we are to give sacrificially to the church. Now, I know some people are resistant to submitting pledge cards, so allow me to explain the purpose of these cards. From an individual standpoint, they really help us to actualize our commitment. They've done studies and they've discovered that when we write something down on paper, our likelihood of accomplishing that goal increases significantly. Yes, this is a promise that is being made between you and God. And we're not going to send you a bill, and we're not going to kick you out of church if you get behind in your pledge. Pledge cards are not legally binding, but rather they help us as individual Christians to flesh out our intentions to support God and His church. Now, once you've written your pledge down, it's important to then turn that pledge back in. This helps the church to effectively plan for the coming year. The vestry and I really are committed to being good stewards of our resources. Not only does that mean we don't want to spend more than we expect to bring in, but we also don't want to spend significantly less than we bring in. I would really hate to get to the end of the year and think we could have done so much more ministry had we only known what we were going to receive. And to that end, we're proposing two budgets to the congregation. Now, if you're new to Anglicanism, the congregation does not actually vote on the budget. The vestry votes and approves the budget. But the congregation is in charge of funding that budget. And so what we want to do is sort of show you two different visions for the church and what that's going to cost. The first budget is what we're calling our maintenance budget. And this is really what it costs to run the church as is, making sure that the electricity is on, the lawn is cut, and the coffee on Sunday mornings is hot. And although it would be fairly simple to just continue with the status quo, to continue doing things as we've always done them, have you ever noticed that churches that impact their community and the world are never simply about maintaining? Instead, churches that have an impact are about mission. You know, a couple weeks ago at our praise and prayer meeting, I was encouraged by how many of the prayers were not for ourselves, but rather they were for the world around us, for the lost, for the broken, for the destitute. And that's really the attitude that we are called to have in the church. And I truly believe that this is an important point in the life of our congregation, and we need to ask ourselves, what kind of church do we want to be? Do we want to be a maintenance church, or do we want to be a mission church? If we're going to be a mission church, it's going to require sacrifice. And that sacrifice is reflected in the second budget that we're proposing, which we're calling our mission budget. And it's roughly 10% higher than our maintenance budget. So what exactly happens when we expand our budget by 10%? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. For starters, 10% of our mission budget is devoted to ministries outside of our parish, such as the Diocese of Pittsburgh, the Pregnancy Care Center, Crosslines, the Ozark Food Harvest, and numerous other social ministries. This was an imperative of our finance committee as we were developing the budget, that if we expected parishioners to give 10% of their income away, we as the church ought to have that same expectation for ourselves. And you can never be mission-oriented if you're only looking to satisfy your own needs. And so we made sure that we're giving away 10% of what we bring in. This mission budget also restores funding to our missionaries in Cambodia. Closer to home, it enables us to allocate additional resources to our rapidly growing nursery and children's ministry, allowing us to more effectively teach the gospel to our younger generation. This mission budget also empowers us to start planning for our long-term goal of planting churches in Springfield and beyond. Now, as many of you probably know, Nathaniel's ordination date has finally been set for December 9th. And I've already had people start to ask me, does this mean we're losing Nathaniel? Because that's sort of been the modus operandi up until this point. We bring in these wonderful young men, they get ordained, and then they leave. So my answer to that question is, not if I can help it. And not if we can help it. Because I have long-term plans for Nathaniel here. So the plan in our mission budget is to move Nathaniel out of this very part-time status. And I've told him, it feels like he's this Ferrari that's just kind of circling a neighborhood. And we want to get him out on the freeway and really doing ministry. So our plan is to expand his ministry here, to expand his role, to start paying him more of what he's worth and his ministry is worth to us. And the expectation is that we will make him full-time in 2019 and kind of three-quarters time for 2018. Now, as our congregation continues to grow, this will allow us to expand our liturgical and pastoral ministries to accommodate the growth that we're seeing. But what's more exciting and what really gets me going is that it puts us in a position for Nathaniel to eventually start developing a group here at All Saints that will in a few years go out and plant a daughter congregation from our church. And once that daughter congregation starts growing and becomes stable, then we'll bring in another new priest and we'll do the same thing and we'll plant a congregation somewhere else. And really long term, what we want to do is not just plant a church here and there, but really plant an entire diocese in this part of the country. And yes, I realize that these are lofty goals. But what would a church be without a kingdom vision for the future? And you will never accomplish a kingdom vision in a maintenance mindset. So as you consider your pledge in the coming weeks, please take some time to pray for the future of our church, that we might be effective ministers of the gospel, not just to those within these walls, but more importantly, to those outside of our walls. If you've never made a commitment to support All Saints financially, perhaps now is the time to make that pledge and place your trust in God and His providence for your life as well as ours. If you already give, please consider increasing your pledge for the coming year so that we might be able to increase our ministry. Together, we need to pray that the Holy Spirit would empower all of us to partner together and follow His leading. Pray that we might continue to more and more be the light of Christ in this darkened world to the glory of God the Father. And I'd like to close this morning with a prayer for the mission of the church that our diocese has on its website. So let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, You manifested your love by sending your only begotten Son into the world, that all might live through him. Pour out your Spirit on your church, that we may fulfill his command to preach the gospel to all people. Send forth laborers into your harvest. Defend them in all dangers and temptations, and hasten the time when the fullness of the Gentiles shall be gathered in, and faithful Israel shall be saved through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.